The Federal Communications Commission voted yesterday on a 3-2 vote to end the Obama-era policy known as net neutrality. Opponents of the move say it would give internet service providers the power to choose which content is available to their customers and to have slower and faster rates. But FCC Chairman Ajit Pai says it's a restoration of internet freedom. He put out a video that outlines many things that internet users would still be able to do, including posting selfies, pictures of food and puppies, getting great deals with online shopping, and more.
You can still binge watch your favorite shows. You can still stay part of your favorite fan community. You can still drive memes right into the ground.
Brian Fung has been watching the net neutrality fight closely. He covers technology at the Washington Post, focusing on telecommunications, internet access, and the shifting media economy. Brian, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Assuming this decision from the FCC stands, there might be some legal challenges. We'll get into that. But assuming this policy takes effect, what changes on a practical level?
Well, a lot of folks think that, you know, nothing is going to change immediately. But other folks say that in the long term, you could see a possibility where internet providers speed up certain websites or slow others down. And, you know, under the old rules, just to give you an example, Verizon couldn't favor AOL or Yahoo, which it owns, by discriminating against, say, Google or Netflix. But under these new rules, that would be perfectly legal so long as Verizon disclosed the fact.
Or if I'm Amazon, I could say, hey, Verizon, I'm going to give you a lot of money. Give me a high-speed thing. If I'm Rob's Bookstore, I probably can't afford to pay for something like that.
That's right. And it's important to point out here that a lot of the worst-case scenarios that activists are kind of positing here probably aren't all that likely to happen. I think what's more likely we'll see is that, you know, internet providers will engage in, you know, more difficult-to-detect types of behavior that are harder for regulators and consumers to catch and then complain against.
I want to talk about the history of net neutrality just a bit. People have been saying, especially supporters of getting rid of it, that this only goes back to a 2015 Obama-era FCC decision. Is that right, or does net neutrality have a longer history than that?
So net neutrality, just to be clear, is a principle about how the internet should work. It's essentially an idea about fairness on the internet. And what got passed in 2015 by the FCC was a set of rules that tried to enshrine that principle into regulation. Now, so there are essentially different ways you could go about trying to protect net neutrality, and it's the 2015 rules, the FCC's implementation of it, that really got struck down with the FCC's vote this week.
What's been the argument of people who want to get rid of net neutrality? What are they hoping will come of this?
Well, there are a number of arguments that industry groups put forward here. One is that internet providers say they will be more willing to spend money in upgrading and investing in their networks to make them better and more reliable without these rules. You know, other folks say that these the FCC didn't have the legal authority to publish the rules in the first place, so we're simply returning to just the status quo that we had before. And then, you know, there are other folks who say this is a First Amendment issue, that essentially the rules prevented internet providers from speaking kind of as a private actor, and that this was an effort by the government to suppress the speech of a person. So this is all going to be probably litigated in the next few weeks and months as supporters of the rules try and mount a defense of the regulations and try and get the FCC's decision overturned.
And supporters here point out that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, would still have regulatory power here. What role would they play under these new rules?
So the FTC is the nation's top consumer protection watchdog, and they essentially are empowered to go after companies that act in allegedly unfair or deceptive ways. Now, what's interesting about this is that compared to the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission doesn't have rulemaking authority, so it can't create rules and apply them on internet providers. It can only go after companies after harm has been done and proven. So a lot of consumer advocates worry that this could lead to a situation where startups, wither and die after years worth of litigation if the FTC takes up a case at all.
We're talking to Brian Fung from The Washington Post, looking at net neutrality and new rules voted on by the FCC this week. And now there's been a lot of criticism. You've alluded to this, Brian. There's a lot of opposition to this change. Who's opposed to it? What kind of arguments are they making?
Well, a lot of tech companies are opposed to the FCC's decision. A lot of consumer advocacy groups are. And a lot of congressional Democrats are opposed to this. And some of them are saying, this is now time for litigation and possibly even legislation to try and supersede what the FCC has done.
And what's public opinion like on this?
Well, a University of Maryland survey out this week showed that 83% of Americans are opposed to the FCC plan, and that was after the survey takers were provided with arguments, the strongest arguments for and against the proposal. In addition to that, 3 out of 4 Republicans said that they were also opposed to the plan, which is striking given that this plan is being put forward by a Republican FCC.
Now, there's a sort of core, almost philosophical argument here about what the internet is. Is it a transmission device? Is it a telecommunications device subject to that kind of regulation? Or is it an information business and therefore not like a phone company that can be regulated in that way? Is that kind of at the heart of a lot of this?
That is. The question here is whether or not the government should be able to label internet providers as essentially telecom companies, a decision that would give the FCC broader powers to regulate the industry and to protect consumers. But industry opponents obviously are against that, saying that the internet and broadband companies should be treated more like information service providers, a designation that comes with fewer obligations under the FCC's regulatory scheme.
You've mentioned legal challenges being likely. I mean, we're hearing state attorneys general line up on this, some companies. When is this all going to hit the courts?
That's a great question. I think we could see lawsuits being filed, essentially in the next few weeks. It'll probably take some time for these to reach, oral arguments. In the meantime, you might see efforts by lawmakers to draft legislation that would put a stop to the FCC vote or put a stop to the FCC's decision. But at the same time, with Republicans in control of Congress, it's not clear how much momentum there is for something that could undo what the FCC has done.
There's been some controversy about the comments that the FCC received after they posted these rules and they get comment from the public. Some of the comments apparently were pretty fishy, right?
Yeah, that's the allegations coming from folks like Democratic FCC Commissioner Jessica Rosenworcel and New York's State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, who alleged that there are millions of fake comments or comments that were submitted by bots or fake people, people who had apparently been deceased for a number of years. So the irregularities in the FCC comment process and the policymaking process is likely to become a key issue in any kind of litigation over this.
You mentioned this may not lead to super drastic changes, but somebody clearly wants these changes and is likely to find a way to make money off of them. On a practical level, what would you expect some of the first steps to be from internet providers to monetize this decision?
Well, I think we can probably expect a number of decisions from internet providers to offer new features or plans that on the surface would look pretty good to consumers. AT&T has historically experimented with a service that gives you a discount on internet access in exchange for letting AT&T browse and mine your web browsing history or your internet usage history as a way to give AT&T more data that it can use to sell targeted advertising, for example. So that's just one example of the kind of features that the ISPs say would benefit consumers, but that consumer groups say ultimately in the long run might harm the internet ecosystem.
We'll leave it there, Brian. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me.
Brian Fung covers technology for The Washington Post. He joined us to talk about the FCC's decision to repeal the Obama-era policy guaranteeing net neutrality.